Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You're listening to Lucy Killoway's podcast from the Financial Times.
Oh, to be in the office, now that August's there. I can't sustain the verse beyond this first line, as I'm no good at poetry. Yet the rapture Robert Browning felt over the brushwood sheaf and the chaffinch can't be that dissimilar to my own delight at the sights and sounds of working life in the dead of summer. Rather than convey my rapture in verse, I've instead composed a prosaic list to elucidate precisely what it is that makes the office in August quite so lovely. 1. There's the joyous commute. You emerge from your front door to find the city quiet. Commuters have seats on buses and tubes. Cyclists whiz down empty roads. Possibly there are only 20% fewer commuters, but because of the funny effect that change has at the margin, it feels as if there's almost no one going to work at all. 2. Favourable shift in chief Indian ratio. Although lots of Indians are on the beach, an even higher percentage of chiefs are there too. This hugely contributes to the niceness of the atmosphere back in the office. 3. No buzz. Buzz is something that's overrated as it's noisy and stressful. Instead, many cubicles are empty and the air is full of the gentle sounds of someone typing far away. Light heart. From our school days, we're programmed to think August means holiday, so if we find ourselves in the office during that month, the work we do doesn't quite count, so it's hard to get that het up about anything. There are plentiful supplies of Diet Coke in the vending machines. There's a moral superiority. As so many people are on holiday, simply turning up to work makes you feel stakhanovite, which is nice. Despite the moral superiority, the day feels more leisurely. You can get in a bit late, leave a bit early, and if you can find anyone nice who's also working in August, you can have lunch together. There are almost no emails. There are almost no meetings. No one rings. Today I've only had one call, and that was from the nanny to tell me the freezer's packed up. White goods don't seem to respect the idea that August is not a good time for calamity. Yet despite this list, by far the biggest and the strangest pleasure in August is the work itself. During the month, a depleted B team shifts just as much work as is shifted in a normal month by a bigger, top-heavy A team. There's no noticeable difference in quality. The only difference is that with the B team in charge, everyone goes home on time. Indeed, during August, the workload is whittled down to the essential bread-and-butter stuff that companies need to do to make money. Goods get produced and sold, columns get written, and newspapers published. Not only does all this get done efficiently, it leaves time for work that's been pushed to one side during the rest of the year. Last week, I even found myself tidying my desk and doing tiresome admin tasks. Even more remarkable, there's time left over to do that activity that almost never gets done in the office, to think. How is this possible? The reason is simple. There are no new initiatives in August, no meetings to discuss diversity workshops. The biggest egos are on the beach, and those left behind have too much proper work to do to engage in any posturing. The shocking lesson from August is finding out just how much time all these other activities eat up. But if things are so pleasant and efficient when non-work is eliminated, there must be a lesson to draw. The A team should be told to take a permanent holiday, allowing the business to be run more smoothly and with lower overheads without them. It wouldn't work, alas. If you left the B team to get on with it, in time they would have grown into their own A team. They would have introduced diversity workshops themselves and be posturing with the best of them. Indeed, the true lesson is to enjoy the office in August, because, like April in England, it passes and real office life will come back soon enough. There is, however, one bad thing about working through the summer. That is having to communicate with the A team from the poolside and from the beach. In the old days, it used to be the person on holiday who would resent stray phone calls from people in the office. Now it's the other way round. People in the office resent the frequent nuisance calls and needless BlackBerry emails from control freaks on holiday. However, I've devised a little game to take the pain out of this. Send holidaying colleagues a fairly pointless email and then start the stopwatch. An out-of-office reply will bounce back at once. Wait. In time, you will surely get an inessential reply by BlackBerry. The faster it comes, the more points you get. Further points if the person wastes precious minutes of their holiday to tell you that they are by the pool in Tuscany or on the beach in Corsica. If they end with the cliché, "eat your heart out," you hit the jackpot. You don't need to eat your heart out. You're having a better time than they are.
Thank you for listening. To read Lucy Kellaway's columns online, please visit www.ft.com/Kellaway.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.